I'm Silva Harapetian. Welcome to my show. We talk ordinary people, extraordinary stories, living life on their own terms.
If you've lived at all, if you've taken risk at all, if you've stepped out of your own comfort zone at all, you recognize, and we grapple with this all the time, is staying true and aligned to who you are first, over power, over greed, over money, over, you know, because the you can't really get to your purpose if you find yourself no longer aligned with who you are.
And I might add on top of that, there's nothing scarier than when you thought you did, like to our earlier point about locking in, and then let's say it works and then it gets to this height that you always envisioned it. Can you walk away from that if you then discover that that's not the perfect fit for you?
Right. It's no longer aligned. Right.
Right. So right. Can you walk away from that even after a half a decade or a decade of building something, and then you discover that you went through that just to come to grips with, like, okay, this isn't the perfect thing for me anymore.
Right.
And so for me, one thing that I am deeply grateful to myself for always from the beginning of my journey till now is I've always had the bravery to do the more uncomfortable thing.
And that's
right.
So powerful, because it does separate. There is a big gap between the people who are willing to actually take action and be brave and go into the unknown, right? Versus people who are willing to stay in the comfort zone and do whatever it is that they do in order. It takes enormous. And I struggled with that same experience for a very long time, because I was at a crossroad too. You know, I've spent 22 years in journalism doing news and coming to grips with whether this is still aligned with who I am and my bigger purpose, and having to essentially make peace with the fact that the 22 years you've invested in building this is not in vain. It has prepared you for this next thing that you're supposed to do.
Exactly.
And it's hard to... It's hard because it's not tangible. This next thing is also unknown. So it takes enormous amount of courage and bravery and feeling empowered within yourself and knowing your own skills to know that you've built it once, you can build it again. Exactly. It's just going to look different and on your own terms. I want to talk a little bit about real estate at this point, because I read something online on your Instagram, and it said something about, I think it was one of the first blogs you put up about now having to deal with this economic, the pandemic and the economic fallout that we're experiencing now. Mm-hmm. And that this was the first time that you had dealt with something like this. And I found myself looking at it and going, you know, I lived through this in 2008. I lost a whole bunch of properties in 2008 when we hit the economic crash. And I could really personally feel your pain of what am I going to do and how am I going to make ends meet and how am I going to salvage what I've built. So talk to me a little bit about that. And I love that you're sharing the process and the experience and in a very vulnerable and transparent way, because it gives everyone the permission to be there with you. You know what I mean?
No, I appreciate that. And I'm glad that that's coming across, because, you know, that's one thing that I decided I was always going to do, is like, I was always just going to be vulnerable about it, because I find that the things that are most uncomfortable to be vulnerable about is usually where there's most learnings there that other people can have. Correct. I shared a blog post where I, you know, honestly kind of dissected where I felt I stood in a time like this. And the interesting thing is when the market is frothy and everything is growing, it's really hard to tell where your mistakes are.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of growth to cover up your mistakes. And then when the low tide comes, you can see, you know, all the things dried up on the shore, so to speak. So in the same way, low tide comes in, and money goes away. And, you know, I, in 2019, I mean, there was just a lot of money everywhere. not even just in the lending markets, but also, you know, for me, like working in media and stuff like that, speaking, like I was making a lot of cash in a lot of different ways. And so the income actually also blinds you to, you know, your investing skill, because, you know, my investments, if they weren't generating money, I'd say, no problem. You know, I'll just throw money at it. And
right.
Throw money everywhere because I got money coming everywhere. And then once the cash just stops completely.
Oh, I got to cover all this now.
Yeah. And then you're just like, whoa, okay. But all in all, I did well. And I'm thankful that the timing didn't jam me up, because I'm very, very hyper aware that if I would have been caught in the middle of my renovations when this pandemic hit, I don't know if I would have made it out. And I can say that with honesty. So I'm just like, just realizing that, okay, back to the basics. Make sure you buy things at cash flow. Make sure, you know, if you're going to buy something that, you know, is intensive to fix, that you get the financing for it, or you negotiate a good deal and so forth. So those are probably some of the biggest lessons I learned over the last few years, but I'm grateful that I went through the bumps and bruises, honestly, because I'm just emerging out of that as well a lot stronger now too, because I feel like I know this. I know now what to do.
Yeah.
I didn't know before.
Yeah, real estate is one of those things that you can read all the books you want, and you can attend all the seminars you want, and you can watch other people do it. But until you have the property, until you are responsible, until you have to deal with the banks and you have to negotiate, until you have to deal with the contractors and the tenants and the repairs and the middle of the night calls, you don't know what you're doing until you actually have lived through that. And then you can be doing everything right. And it's.
And I remember when I had my first property under contract, it's a 10 unit building, how bad I wanted it. And I remember I was meditating one time or praying or something like that. And I said, God, I said, please give me all the problems that come with having this thing. Like, I'm
what is wrong with
it.
You?
Yeah. And trust me, they made good on that promise. You know, I got all the problems and then some that I wanted, but like, that always jumped out at me and always stayed with me, because for me, you're not ready to manifest a thing until you're ready for the problems that it comes with.
Mm-hmm.
Every blessing that you're pursuing comes with its equal and reciprocal amount of pressures and responsibilities. And it's, you can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't say, you know, God, give me all these properties, and then you expect you're going to coast through it. Like, they're going to come with its own weight.
Mm.
And so I just remember praying for the weight. Give me the weight. Give me the problems. I want them.
Right.
And, you know, at some point I was like, all right, please, I learned my lesson, but
it's enough. I got it.
It's enough.
I'm going to give you a quick story, and I don't think I've ever shared this on any platform. So when I was working in Austin, Texas, it was 2003, 2004, 2005, something like that. I was making probably about $31,000 a year at my job.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the part about where you each, because your vision is supposed to be bigger than what you're trying to do.
Right.
I was working
that
and that part. And I saw the opportunity. It was the market was, the lenders were giving out money in the market. This is the time you do it. I was like, how, and I looked at the numbers. I'm like, how am I going to support a property on $30,000? But then I was like, listen, if you can juggle $100, you can juggle $10,000. It is what it is. So I bought a duplex, and the plan was for me to live in one and rent the other side, which would offset my rent. I would break
sure.
even. That's okay, because it's all about the investment.
Right.
I had not closed. I maybe been a week. The tenant on this side, on the left side, called mm-hmm. and said that the tenant on the right side has two very violent pit bulls who they had hidden from me.
Mm-hmm.
And the pit bull had grabbed the neck of the tiny dog that they had through the fence and killed it in the yard.
Oh my God.
And the tenant on the left had a little baby, like around probably even less than 1 year old. and I had to go deal with this in the middle of the night.
My goodness.
Okay, that was the beginning. And then the beginning of the end, right? I mean, one thing led to another. And then there was the roof that collapsed. And then there was the water leak. And then there was the pipe burst. And then there was the tenant refusing to pay rent. And then there was the eviction. Yep. And then there was, after the eviction, then they completely destroyed the property. They broke the windows. They tagged the house. And then, I mean, I have no idea how I covered all of those expenses on my paycheck. But if there was anything that I learned from that one property, was how to manage all of these problems. And I am quite certain I did not pray for
There's something about hardship that kicks you in an animal gear that, you know, I didn't need, like, I hustled and you know, it was a combination of things were going well, but also I worked my ass off to just like, and it sucked because for 2 years, even though I had made the most cash I'd ever made, I was also the brokest I'd ever been because all this cash is going away. And it's really frustrating to like make a lot of cash, but then back to zero, literally zero, zero. Cause I'm just like, I don't want to just like save enough. And
let John, that's why your middle name is Hustle.
Right.
Right.
So, just to say, though, that that same experience where you were like, yo, how making 30K am I going to cover all this? And you did.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes going through a hardship reveals to you what you're really made of and what you could really do. When things get better, you're like, I know what I could do. Plus, now you're benefiting from the hardship that you took.
Right.
So a lot of lessons there.
Lots of lessons. Talk to me a little bit about the show. Talk to me about Hustle.
Now I'm working with small entrepreneurs to help them navigate the world of building their own businesses.
What was the thing that you learned the most in being in that media space and doing that work?
Oh man, that was a really fun, super fun experience. You know, got to work with Alicia Keys, got to work with my boy Marcus Amundsen. Got to work with a lot of entrepreneurs and bring them on the big screen, got myself on the big screen, had a billboard in Times Square. You know, we were on 250 buses in New York City, which is a city where I'm born and raised. So and we were in the subways. I remember one day I was having a bad day because I was running late for a bunch of shit, and I was in the trains and I was pissed off, and I walked into a train and I looked up and I saw my own billboard on the train, and I was like, bruh, if you ever complain about having a bad day, like, perspective, man, like, you gotta relax, like, you know. So that was a ride of a lifetime. And I learned about the power of television for sure, because I was the same guy before the show than after the show. But after the show, you know, you're invincible for that little while. It was awesome. I mean, it was grueling. We shot 12-hour days, 6 days a week for 3.5 months.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Let's talk about how people think that it's just such a glamorous. I mean, again, just like everything else, you got to be willing to take the responsibility and the work that comes with the people.
That's
think
the
it's such a glamorous thing to do. And, you know, they see the billboards and the posters and the media attention and blah, blah, blah. And then they forget and don't realize what it goes into creating all of that. Let's talk about, were you surprised at the amount of work and the effort and the energy? Can you talk to me about that?
Yeah, I mean, it was 12 hours a day, 6 days a week. I mean, I would wake up, our call time was 6 a.m. and we wouldn't wrap until, I don't know, 8 p.m. and then and sometimes 6 p.m. But then because I cared so much about the show and I developed a close relationship with the director, him and I love drinking Japanese whiskey. So he'd be like, yeah, let's go to the office. So then we would sip whiskey and then I would write. Right. So I realized, so I learned a number of things. I learned, so, you know, you and I were on camera talent, so to speak. Right. But in this show, I played a lot of roles. I also played the role of an executive producer in that I pulled a lot of strings and made a lot of things happen. There wasn't a single guest in the entire season one, with the exception of maybe two or three in the whole season, that weren't my connections. Like, I called them and said, yo, let's do this. The producers who write the episodes, they know how to produce TV, but they don't know about business.
Right.
So a lot of the production was consulting me. And they were like, yo, John, how would you do this? And so I found myself in a situation where not only was I on camera talent and I was an executive producer also producing, so I would I'm helping three or four businesses grow in parallel.
Right.
So I have to keep tabs on what we did with the businesses, where they were at, this and that.
Yeah, this is producing a show on the fly, which takes it takes incredible amount of work and skill to do that.
For sure.
Yeah.
And it was a 22-person crew. So and New York City is such a lively city. So just imagine pulling up on scene, you know, in Washington Square Park, and we just fucking walk out, and there's two or three cameras. You got this big ass crew, and I'm working with these. It was just so awesome. I'm not gonna lie, it was the coolest thing.
It sounds like you were
so
bitten by the bug. I mean,
I was bitten by the bug.
Man. Yeah, this is what it's like when you get the first adrenaline rush being in media, is you realize, holy crap, this is how it all comes about. Okay, mm-hmm. I can do this. Mm-hmm. But there's nothing more gratifying than seeing a vision come to reality and a product is created from a vision. And when you see that process and are in that process, you realize once you see how that happens, that correlates to everything in life, that correlates to everything in business, that correlates to mm-hmm. everything else that's going on, because you understand that life is also a production and business is also a production. They're just a different set of variables and different pieces. That's it.
And I'll say this too, for as much as we talk about business and stuff, every time I've leveled up in my life, it has not been a result of anything new that I learned in business. It's been a result of becoming a better person. Mm-hmm. So it's really interesting, because looking further and further into yourself and reassessing your own value frameworks and getting rid of some of the limiting behaviors and all that internal work that I've done and continue to do, sometimes when you hit a roadblock in your craft and your endeavor and your business, sometimes it's got nothing to do with the business. Sometimes it has everything to do with you. And, you know, it's just wild, because you've done such a great job facilitating dialogue and, you know, just getting to reflect on various different parts of my journey, let's say, from TV, and it just starts to sound like this thing, like it's just like a movie. You're just like, whoa, I can't believe all these things have even happened, and like, how did that even happen? And like, I just gotta believe that the source of it is, you know, like aligning yourself, and it's putting out such a good energy that opportunity just begin to flow your way. Not even on some like kumbaya magic stuff, but just like when you meet someone whom like feels a way about you, and you're just like, yeah, I want to do this with you, you know? And that to me counts so much more than how smart you are, what school you went to. It's like, yeah, this person makes me feel good, and I just want to work with them.
Right.
And customers come in that way, partners come in that way, investors come in that way, and projects unfold that way, and some work and some don't, but like, you know, you go on all these kinds of crazy rides as a result of, you know, being a person that, you know, is magnetic. And so I guess for anyone listening, that's what I would focus on more. As much as it's important to learn the craft, I think it's more important to be a solid person.
Yeah.
I've enjoyed this so much. This has been really awesome. You're super good at this, by the way.
Thank you.
I can tell you are seasoned vets.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thank you so much for your wisdom. I really appreciate you spending time with us. It was supposed to be 30 minutes. We're way past our time. And
I didn't even look at the time.
Yeah. Thank you for being so generous with your time, with your wisdom. And I love that you are the voice for a generation who is looking to do things differently, particularly at a time in this country where we absolutely need conversations about ownership, conversations about equity, conversations about doing our own thing, conversations about entrepreneurship, and really taking our power back individually and for our communities. And I love that. So if there's anything I can do to support you, please let me know. For those of you watching and listening, you can find him on Instagram, or just type in his name in Google. You can find him, and he's very responsive, which I'm really impressed about. Thank you very much. I'm Silva Harapetian. See you next time. Thanks, John.
I'm Silva Harapetian. Welcome to my show. We talk ordinary people, extraordinary stories, living life on their own terms.